Welcome back to the Deep Dive, fellow curious learners.
Yes, welcome.
It's really great to have you sitting at the table with us today, because if you are anything like me, you love jumping into new virtual worlds, but
the schedule right now is...
Oh, it's a nightmare. Looking at the current landscape, the packed release schedules, the constant subscription updates, the seasonal sales, I mean, it feels a bit like trying to drink from a fire hose.
It really does.
It can be completely overwhelming just trying to figure out where to spend your hard-earned money and your precious free time, honestly.
Time is the real currency here.
Right. So today we are stepping into the role of your personal gaming financial advisors. Our mission is to help you navigate the incredibly noisy, chaotic landscape of March 2026.
Which is shaping up to be a completely wild month.
Exactly. We are looking past the marketing hype, cutting through all that limited time discount panic, and analyzing the major subscription drops. We want to make sure you maximize your value and avoid that dreadful buyer's remorse.
That financial advisor framing is actually the perfect way to approach this month.
You think so?
Oh, absolutely. The major platforms are currently playing very aggressive, highly divergent games with your wallet and your calendar.
Yeah, they really are.
And to help you make sense of these corporate maneuvers, we are working from a genuinely brilliant piece of strategy analysis today.
It's a great document.
It is. It's called the Tekken Radar.
Yeah.
March 2026's Ultimate Buy Signals. It was compiled by a system architect named Majid.
And what I love about this source...
Yeah, what makes it so compelling is that it looks at the industry not just as a collection of fun toys, but as a complex ecosystem of capital allocation and time management.
It's a very different perspective.
It provides a highly analytical lens through which to view your hobby.
It really changes how you look at that buy button, or even just the download button on a service you already pay for.
It absolutely does.
Okay, let's unpack this. And we should probably start by shifting our focus directly to the most aggressive player on the board this month.
The Microsoft Offensive.
Yes, the Microsoft Offensive. According to Majid's analysis in the Tekken Radar, Xbox Game Pass is deploying a strategy this month that is explicitly described by Xbox leadership as using overwhelming force.
Overwhelming force. That's a military term, and it applies perfectly to their corporate strategy here.
It sounds almost hostile.
Well, when you look at the deployment of titles, this is not just some random assortment of solid games tossed onto the service to keep subscriber numbers stable.
Right, it's not just filler.
Microsoft has meticulously crafted a highly targeted ecosystem for March. They are dropping undisputed heavyweights, and they are doing it in a very concentrated, deliberate window.
The lineup itself is just staggering. I mean, on March 15th, hitting Xbox Game Pass Ultimate.
Which is their top tier, the one covering PC and console.
Right, right. You are getting Final Fantasy VII Remake and Cyberpunk 2077.
On the same day.
On the exact same day. And for anyone less familiar with the genre acronyms, these are role-playing games or RPGs.
Massive RPGs.
Right. These aren't the kind of games you play for 20 minutes on your lunch break. These are sprawling, deeply immersive experiences. You've got complex skill trees, cinematic narratives. They demand dozens, if not hundreds of hours to actually see through to the end.
They are absolute time sinks.
Exactly. So getting two genre-defining RPGs on the exact same day is monumental.
And then just 3 days later.
Yes. 3 days later, on March 18th, they are dropping the crown jewel... Hollow Knight, Silksong as a day one release.
Finally.
I know, right? And a day one release means instead of paying $70 at retail on launch day, it's just instantly available to subscribers.
What's fascinating here is the underlying psychology and business strategy behind this specific grouping.
How do you mean?
Well, Microsoft is intentionally targeting the hardcore demographic.
Yeah.
But there is a deeper layer to this overwhelming force doctrine. Their goal isn't necessarily for you to finish all three of these sprawling games. No, their goal is to completely monopolize your choice in your time. They want to lock you into their specific platform ecosystem for the entirety of March.
Wait, I have to challenge that a bit.
Go ahead.
Isn't there a severe risk of cannibalization here? If Microsoft drops 300-hour games in a four-day window... Aren't they just forcing their own users to pick one and completely ignore the other two?
You would think so.
It seems totally counterintuitive to blow all that licensing budget at once.
You would think so, but the metric they care about isn't completion rate. It is engagement hours.
Ah, engagement hours.
Yes. If you start Cyberpunk on the 15th and maybe dip your toes into Silksong on the 18th, your entire gaming calendar for the next month is cooked.
That makes sense.
You physically do not have the hours in the day to engage with a competitor's platform. They're creating a walled garden of high-quality content.
So it's about boxing out the competition entirely.
Exactly. By offering this density of value, they ensure that every single time you turn on your television or your monitor, you are booting up the Xbox ecosystem. You aren't even thinking about what the competition is doing.
They are essentially buying your attention by providing a surplus of premium content.
Precisely.
If you are entirely booked up playing Microsoft's offerings, that leaves their biggest rival in a very difficult position. I mean, how do you even compete with a monopoly on time?
You don't fight them on the same battlefield.
Right. You change the rules of engagement. Let's look at Sony's counterplay. Majid's analysis points out how radically different Sony's approach is with their PlayStation Plus Essential tier this month compared to Microsoft's concentrated RPG onslaught.
Sony is looking at the landscape, seeing Microsoft drop a nuclear payload of 100-hour narrative games, and deciding not to match them genre for genre.
That would be a bloodbath.
Trying to compete for the hardcore RPG demographic this month would be a losing battle. So instead, Sony is leaning entirely into diversification and defense.
Let's break down that defensive lineup, because Sony's March offerings are basically a masterclass in casting the widest net possible.
They really are.
PlayStation Plus Essential is their baseline subscription tier, right? The one required to play online multiplayer.
Yes, and it gives you a few games to claim and keep each month as long as you stay subscribed.
Right. So for March, they are offering Monster Hunter Wilds for both PS4 and PS5. You also have The Outer Worlds, Spacer's Choice Edition for the PS5.
And then seemingly out of nowhere.
Exactly. Out of nowhere, PGA Tour 2K23 for PS4 and PS5.
It's quite the mix.
It is. You have a cooperative monster hunting action game, a quirky and satirical sci-fi adventure, and a highly polished mainstream sports title.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, this is a classic defensive posture designed to protect their baseline revenue.
Okay, unpack that a bit.
Sony knows they might lose the time and attention of the hardcore solo player to Game Pass this month. So they are making sure to address every other conceivable demographic.
Covering all their bases.
Exactly. They are targeting the group of friends who want to hunt giant monsters together on a Friday night. They are targeting the player who wants a lighter, more humorous sci-fi romp rather than the heavy dystopian tone of Cyberpunk.
And the golfers.
And they are targeting the casual sports fan who just wants to play a few holes of golf to unwind after work.
They're providing an answer to the sunk cost question.
That's right.
When a subscriber looks at their credit card statement and sees that monthly PlayStation Plus charge, they ask themselves, am I actually getting value out of this?
And Sony is ensuring that no matter what kind of player you are, you can point to at least one game in that lineup and justify keeping the subscription active.
They are defending their subscriber count by offering extreme variety, which directly counters Xbox's hyper-targeted genre dominance.
The takeaway for the listener here is that when a game is added to these services, it is rarely a coincidence. It is a calculated chess piece on a corporate board designed to manipulate your subscription retention.
That's a great way to put it. Now, for all of you listening who prefer a mouse and keyboard over a controller, do not think you are immune to these massive industry currents.
Oh, absolutely not.
The corporate strategies just take a different form on your platform. We need to pivot to the PC battlefield, and the Tech and Radar has a very direct, rather ominous warning for you.
The source material states, in no uncertain terms, that PC players need to exercise extreme, absolute financial restraint until mid-March.
Get your wallet away.
Do not click the checkout button on anything.
We have all been there, haven't we? You buy a full price title on a Tuesday because you have a free evening, and then on Thursday, a massive seasonal event drops, and that exact same title is suddenly 60% off.
It is a uniquely painful feeling.
It feels almost like you were tricked. Here's where it gets really interesting. The specific reason for this financial lockdown.
The big sale.
Majid confirms that Valve has locked in the sprawling Steam Spring Sale running from March 14th to the 21st. This is the catalyst for the restraint. Buying a game on March 10th is essentially the equivalent of throwing money away.
The Tech and Radar goes a step further than just circling dates on a calendar, though.
It gets really granular.
Majid breaks down the specific categories of discounts you should be tracking, which turns this from a simple warning into a strategic purchasing guide.
The first category to watch is what the analysis calls the one-year anniversary drops.
I find this category fascinating.
Me too. These are the titles that were released in early to mid-2025. They enjoyed their initial launch window hype. They probably saw a few minor 10 or 15% discounts during the winter holidays. But now, a full year later, they are finally due for those deep, substantial price cuts.
This is the absolute sweet spot for consumer value.
Why is that?
By waiting a year, not only are you getting a heavily discounted price, but you are also getting a superior product.
Because of the patches.
Exactly. The early bugs have been patched, the performance issues are ironed out, and usually all the extra DLC.
The downloadable content.
Right. The downloadable content and expansions that originally cost extra, they're often bundled into a definitive edition by this point. Your patience yields a cheaper, a much more stable experience.
The second category highlighted in the source is termed hardware envy games.
Ah, the benchmark games.
Right. These are your system stress testers. The computationally expensive city builders, the sprawling simulation games, or the graphics-heavy benchmark titles.
These are the games people buy when they just upgraded their computer's graphics card and want to see how far they can push their new hardware.
Exactly. And the Tech and Radar notes that these highly demanding titles traditionally see very aggressive pricing during the spring sale to capture that specific enthusiast market.
The final category is perhaps the most heavily impacted by the platform's algorithm.
The Indie Purge.
Majid refers to it as the Indie Purge. During these seasonal events, you will see a sweeping wave of independent titles dropping their prices dramatically.
Because a PC marketplace is exceptionally crowded.
Extremely crowded. And the front page of the Steam store is prime real estate. For smaller studios, these large seasonal sales are often their only opportunity to generate meaningful visibility.
They need to stand out.
They will slash their prices to rock bottom just to trigger the algorithm, get onto that front page, and secure a sudden influx of volume sales.
Which translates to incredible deals for you, provided you have the discipline to wait for the algorithm to do its work. Listening to this breakdown, there's such a stark contrast between the console space and the PC space this month.
Night and day.
The mindsets required to navigate them are completely opposed.
The console ecosystem, particularly with the subscription model, relies entirely on instant gratification.
You just turn it on and play.
You pay your flat monthly fee, and the platform holder drops hundreds of hours of premium, fully featured content directly onto your dashboard. It feels effortless.
But the PC ecosystem is different.
The PC ecosystem requires strategic patience. To succeed there, you have to act less like a consumer and more like a savvy investor.
You have to do your homework.
You have to meticulously track your wish lists, monitor historical pricing data to know what a good sale actually looks like, and wait for the market to bottom out during these seasonal windows.
That investor mindset is crucial, but we also need to be clear-eyed about those console services too. They aren't exactly the utopia of endless, effortless gaming they sometimes appear to be.
No, they have their own pitfalls.
There is a dark side to that instant gratification, which brings us to a crucial warning from the source's strategic addendum. We have to talk about the hidden cost of subscriptions.
The blind spot.
Specifically, the blind spot that catches so many players off guard. The titles that are leaving the platform.
This is a vital piece of consumer advice in the analysis. Marketing departments spend millions of dollars focusing your attention on the exciting new additions to a service like Game Pass.
They want you looking at the shiny new toys.
Exactly. Consequently, it is incredibly easy to completely ignore the ticking clock of what is being quietly removed from the back catalog.
Majid highlights this dynamic perfectly with the March 15th update. On the exact same day Microsoft is adding Cyberpunk and Final Fantasy, they are pulling Persona 5 Royal and Ni No Kuni from the Game Pass library.
That's a huge loss.
The source's advice is incredibly blunt regarding this, stating, if you're midway through either, finish it and now W.
Think about the psychological pressure that creates. We are conditioned to view these subscription libraries as massive digital bookshelves.
Like we own them.
We assume we have unlimited permanent access to the content. But the stark reality is that you do not own any of these experiences.
You're just renting.
You are merely renting access to a rotating vault governed by complex, hidden corporate licensing deals.
It is exactly like renting a beautifully furnished apartment, only to discover that the landlord has the legal right to walk in and remove your living room sofa with just 2 weeks' notice. You have absolutely no control over the environment you are paying for.
That is a perfect analogy. When a sprawling 100-hour game like Persona 5 Royal is suddenly stamped with a Leaving Soon badge, it introduces a severe sense of anxiety into your hobby.
It creates an artificial deadline.
Suddenly, Your gaming time, which is fundamentally supposed to be your leisure time, your escape from the pressures of daily life.
It becomes a chore.
It is being dictated by a corporate contract expiration.
You go from relaxing on the couch to feeling like you were cramming for a final exam just to see the end credits of a story you invested 2 months into.
Yes.
You are no longer choosing to play the game because you genuinely want to. You are playing it to beat the buzzer before the platform revokes your access.
You are prioritizing your personal time based on a platform holder's licensing agreements rather than your own personal preference or mood.
Which is wild when you think about it.
It is a significant, fundamental shift in how we consume our entertainment. The fear of missing out, or FOMO, is weaponized to dictate your schedule.
It turns entertainment into an obligation, which is a miserable feeling. So what does this all mean? We have explored Microsoft's strategy of overwhelming force to monopolize your calendar.
We have.
We have analyzed Sony's defensive posture of extreme variety to protect their subscription revenue. We have discussed the absolute patience required to navigate the PC market's algorithmic sales.
And we covered the ticking clocks.
And we have uncovered the psychological anxiety tied to the ticking clocks of subscription libraries.
Synthesizing all of this data provides a very clear, actionable strategy for the listener.
The bottom line.
Majid's final summary in the Tech and Radar delivers that ultimate bottom line. March 2026 is a highly volatile month, and it is not a time for casual, scattered, or impulsive purchases.
Xbox is aggressively demanding your entire month's schedule.
Right.
Sony is demanding your ongoing financial loyalty by trying to be all things to all people.
Yes.
And the PC market requires strict financial discipline until the middle of the month. The industry is pulling your attention and your wallet in three entirely different directions.
Navigating modern gaming requires more than just scrolling through a digital storefront and picking whatever box art looks fun in the moment.
It takes work.
It requires what Majid brilliantly terms rigorous capital allocation.
Rigorous capital allocation.
You have to strategically manage both your financial budget and your calendar. If you understand the corporate strategies at play, if you can see the chess moves,
you won't get played.
You won't be swept up in the marketing hype. You won't waste money before a major sale. And you won't be caught off guard by a disappearing digital library.
Rigorous capital allocation. Treating your gaming budget and, more importantly, your free time with the respect and protective mindset it deserves.
As we wrap up this deep dive into the March landscape, I want to leave you with a final thought to mull over. Building on the realities presented in the Tech and Radar.
Okay, let's hear it.
If our gaming schedules, our budgets, and our very consumption habits are increasingly dictated by carefully timed subscription drops, corporate defensive strategies, and the artificial deadlines of games leaving platforms.
What are we losing?
Are we losing the pure freedom of spontaneous discovery in our entertainment? Are we still playing what we want when we want, or are we just following the breadcrumbs laid out by platform holders?
That is a profoundly heavy question to end on, and something crucial to think about the next time you are staring at a massive dashboard of subscription titles, trying to decide what to play next.
Choose wisely.
Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. We hope this exploration of the Tech and Radar acts as the financial advisor you need to navigate March 2026. Keep that rigorous capital allocation in mind, spend your gaming budget strategically, and above all else, guard your time. We will see you on the next deep dive.